Ernest Hemingway is almost as famous for places he lived and visited, like Paris and Spain, as he is for his writing. Now an article in Big Sky magazine reveals Hemingway's Wyoming connections. The article's author, Darla Warden, became a Hemingway fan while attending high school in Sheridan. And as she tells Wyoming Public Radio's Micah Schweitzer, the Sheridan area has its own Hemingway connection.
I was in college sitting on a bar stool at Last Chance Bar in Bighorn, Wyoming, and I noticed that there was a photograph of him over the jukebox.
You know, and I think of sort of the sketch of Hemingway's life, obviously when things of Paris, Spain, and the Civil War, maybe Cuba, but Wyoming came as a surprise.
Yes, I think it surprised a lot of people. I had a lot of comments, especially from Wyoming natives, that said they had no idea. And not only that he loved Wyoming, but it was key to him that he finished A Farewell to Arms there and mailed it from the Cody Post Office and then came back there every other summer until the late 30s. And then sort of when his marriage was falling apart, then he sort of switched allegiances and then started going to Sun Valley. So, you know, that was a good 10 years that Wyoming was his summer retreat.
And of course, Hemingway is famous as a drinker, as well as a writer. He was here during Prohibition for the most part, but yeah. He wrote a short story called Wine of Wyoming.
Right. And that took place, that story, you know, was based on something that really happened. You know, he uses real people and real stories, but then changes them and makes them fiction. And that story supposedly was about someone in Bighorn who made wine. So on his first trip to Wyoming, he drove up and stayed at Folly Ranch up on the Red Grade outside of Bighorn. And then when he picked up Pauline from the train station in Sheridan, they went up to Spiro Wigwam. And Spiro is now part of Sheridan College. And his cabin is marked there. And this summer on August 13th, I'm going to do a writer's retreat there just for a day.
And that's an offshoot of work that you do in Paris, where you have for a number of years now hosted the Left Bank Writers Retreat.
You know, it's funny. The Wyoming connection runs through this story because it started one summer when I wanted to work on improving my French and following Hemingway's steps from A Movable Feast.
You know, what strikes me, Darla, is the symmetry to all of this. You discover Hemingway in high school in Wyoming. Your passion for Hemingway takes you to Paris. You run this writer's retreat in Paris. And now this summer, you return to visit Hemingway's spots back in Wyoming.
That's so interesting because I never really thought of it. Like, it's full circle. And the funny thing, too, is as a high school student, I worked at the Sheridan Inn every summer and had no idea that Hemingway had stayed there and worked there. And so it's really exciting. I get goosebumps every time I discover something that's another Wyoming connection. I visited his cabin in Grand Teton National Park and saw where he came that first summer and fished. And it's kind of thrilling because we haven't read a lot about his Wyoming passion. And, you know, as a Wyoming native, I love Wyoming and it makes total sense to me. You know, he was such an outdoorsman and, you know, Wyoming is spectacular. So I think it just was sort of when he discovered it, he just was so passionate about returning every summer.
Now, for you as a writer and for the writers who participate in your retreats, what is it about retracing the steps of a literary giant like Ernest Hemingway?
I've thought of this so many times and asked myself, is this some crazy obsession? Why do I feel so inspired when I stand outside his apartment, you know, in Paris, or when I'm sitting in the Luxembourg Gardens? Why does that inspire me? And for me, I just keep thinking he arrived in Paris without any creative writing credentials. He had written for a newspaper and been a journalist, but he was really struggling trying to make a break. And he just worked on creating a different style of language while he was there. And I just keep thinking, like, could someone do that today? I mean, are there writers that are doing what he did almost 100 years ago? And also, he inspires me to improve my own writing. I really do try to take, you know, the message of simplicity and showing, not telling, and the tip of the iceberg technique, all of that. I think any writer can improve modeling themselves with some of his tips.
And so maybe you've already anticipated and answered my next question, but what is it about Hemingway that's so enduring still today? I mean, he lived from 1899 to 1961 and was in so many ways a man of his time, and it's a time that's not very much like our own anymore.
That's such a good point, the point that he was a man of his time, because, you know, he takes a lot of there's a lot of criticism about him, his personal life. So that criticism, I always think, you know, people judge the writing, not the man. It was a different time in the world. As far as his writing being relevant today, with so much talk about content, you know, and I think writing standards are slipping. And if people really took the time to model what he talked about in his own writing, which was, you know, using one word instead of two, writing words that you don't always have to go to the dictionary. I mean, he used words that were accessible to readers. And that might be why I loved him in high school, because to be a child in Sheridan, Wyoming, it was crazy to me, like, wow, there's a writer out there that writes about things like our life here, hunting and fishing and adventures. And it just was something that I could totally relate to.
Darla Warden is the author of an article on Ernest Hemingway's Wyoming in the 2016 fly fishing issue of Big Sky magazine. We have a link to the article at our website, wyomingpublicmedia.org. Darla is also currently working on a book about Hemingway. She joined us from her home in Denver. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Micah Schweitzer.